Right, let's just, I'm going to just start in Hebrews chapter 3. The reason I read those passages, it just gives a bit of a background. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm entitled tonight, Walking with Others, side by side. I doubt if you remember, but I preached on this passage last year here in Emmanuel, and these verses of 12 and 13 I touched on then. And in the last few months, as I've been reading this book, I felt more and more the importance of fellowship, of loving each other. It's one of our, I suppose you could call it, one of our statements that we discussed in business meeting, in church meeting back last year, where one of the things we really want to work on as a church and develop is provide opportunities where we walk with each other more. And we've been trying to be deliberate in that. Home groups was one part of that, and we encourage each other to pray, to enjoy being with each other. That's part of it. And so with that in mind, I thought it was important that we looked a little bit deeper into this passage, into these verses. Now, we were reminded this morning by Dave of that grace of God. It was just great. I would just fit it into, it was a helpful beginning for me for this evening. Grace to Nineveh. God sending grace to a nation like that. The love that he showed to that that group of people who, in one sense, as we heard, were such, committed such atrocities and had turned away from God. But this evening, I want us to talk about one of the things, one of the threads, really, of what I want to talk about is how God sends grace to us here tonight in Emmanuel in April 2018 on this estate, in this church. He's warning us through these verses. He's warning us through the Israelites, their walk through the wilderness. He's warning us, but he's providing provision. Because that is your God and that is my God. God warns us, but he gives grace. His grace that he warns us, actually, and he gives us provision. And in these verses 12 and 13, there is that warning. And those verses of chapter 3 are a stark warning that you can be sat here tonight and you can have an unbelieving heart. That's the warning. There's a warning that you can be sat here tonight and you can be a member and you can have an unbelieving heart. It's a warning that that may not be you, but it could be you. That's the warning. And that's what we read in verse 12. That's why he says, beware. You know, when there's a cliff face, there's usually a warning sign. And the cliff face of unbelief is certainly something we should be very aware of. Even of those of us who would think we're the strongest Christians. Whatever that looks like. But there's also provision. there's also provision. God's grace provides all that we need. And one means of grace, obviously, is personal responsibility, which we'll touch on. But it's also in verse 13 where he says, exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. And that's really what I want to focus on. How do we exhort each other? How do we watch out for each other? What does fellowship mean? What does the time after church mean? What does the time when we meet together to prepare for club? What does when we're planning and organizing a meeting and two of us are just meeting together to think about spiritual, what does it mean? How does it look like when we're spurring each other on? Well, it means to encourage. It means to build up. And something that I'm going to say even means saying difficult things at times. It might even be saying, pointing out to someone in love and much humility. It might even mean pointing out something of sin in another person's life. But we'll see if we get to that bit at the end. But it's helping each other grow. It's helping each other grow. Now you're saying to me, Glyn, that's you, that is. You, this is you harp on about this. We hear this a lot from you. It's okay for you, Glyn. Heart on your sleeve, open. I'm not always the best listener. Oh, I'm not like that. That's not really me. My faith is me and God, and that's not really me. I'm okay. My walk is with God. I don't need to share that. I carry my burdens. I don't want to burden anyone else with that. Now, some of these elements of your objections, maybe they weren't there before, but they are now. Maybe there's an element of that. There's truth in that. Maybe it's down to temperament. Maybe it's down to our makeup and our upbringing and what we were like. But you know, there is something here, hopefully in what we say, that is for each of us. Maybe for you tonight is actually realizing as a Christian, you have a responsibility to other Christians. Maybe that's your responsibility tonight. Maybe that's what you'll learn. Maybe for the first time, that will dawn on you. I have a responsibility to my fellow Christians. They're my best friends. They're even in my family. I care for them. But you know what? Their spiritual life is my concern. Maybe that's something that will speak to you tonight. Maybe it's, for some of you, it's realizing a bit more. Maybe someone has said something or done something. You just think, how do I broach that? How do I pray about that? What do I do about that? Maybe it's for some of you, to be honest, Glyn, I'm a bit too much for pointing out people's sins. I find it very easy to tell people what's what. Maybe that's you. Well, you need to hear that. We all need to be encouraged in this, how we can encourage each other, because we all have responsibility. Now, the underlying principle to all of this is that Christ forgives. Christ is our Savior. Christ redeems us. Christ keeps us. This is what Paul reminds that's what the writer of the Hebrew reminds them in Hebrews. They were going away. He reminds them about Christ all the time, all the way through. He's the great high priest. You don't need the temple sacrifices. But we have a part to play. So where do we start? Where do we start? Well, firstly, we need to recognize, Christian, that we, if you call yourself a Christian, we are in a battle together. We are in a battle. There are no retired Christians. And I can see several retired people here. And I know they're not retired because they work for the Lord consistently for his glory. But you know what I mean. There are no retired Christians. You never stop being a Christian until your last dying breath. And what does that mean? Well, what do I mean when we're in the battle? What's the battle? The battle is respectability. That's the battle. What people think of me. The battle, dear friend, is with sin. And there's an urgent call in this passage. Today, I do not want you to be unaware, says Paul in Corinthians. And in this passage, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, today, if you hear his voice, today, while it is today in verse 13, encourage each other, admonish each other. Today. Why is there urgency? Because there's a battle going on. And that's the first thing as part of this recognizer in this battle together, is no one is exempt from the battle of sin. Not one of us. Now, let's get it clear from the outset. This isn't a text for young people, because they're in more of a battle than us oldies. They have to face things much more than we have to. You know, the youngsters there in primary school, when they say they go to church and their friends go, you go where? You go to church? Whereas more older people are a bit more acceptable. Well, that's a bit odd, but fair enough. It's a respectable thing to do. This isn't for you. This is for all of us who love the Lord Jesus. And there's a warning here. In verse 12, beware, brethren, lest be in any of you. Any of you means, is no compartmentalizing a certain group. That's any of us. And can you see how serious sin is? The only way you'll be able to encourage others, the only way you'll be able to get alongside people who battle with sin like you do, if you see it yourself. I think that's maybe the order of things, possibly verse 12. The only way you can exhort one another is actually seeing what you're exhorting about. This battle, this temptation to sin. And this warning that underlines this, that sin can harden your heart. Do you realize the seriousness of that? It's sobering, isn't it? Mark Dever says this, holiness, you see, is freedom. Our calling is that we are called to be free. Free from sin. Sin wants to grip us. That bitter taskmaster. And we have, each of us, a personal responsibility to run that race. Don't harden your hearts, he says in Hebrews later on. Run the race. But no one is exempt. Oh, they are more holy than I am. They wouldn't battle with what I'm battling with. Well, you'll be surprised what we all battle with. Secondly, sometimes the battle is stronger for others. This context that we looked at in 1 Corinthians is the wilderness, is a trial. 40 years in a wilderness is, and we can very easily look and see the Israelites and think, well, they were such moaners and grumblers. But it was a wilderness. It was tough. It was a part of the judgment upon them. But God provided for them in the wilderness. You see, and whether you are a Christian who at the moment things are going okay, or whether you're a Christian who's right at the coal face, and it's tough. You see, that picture on the front in World War I, you know, you've got men fighting, walking over the front line. It's fierce at that point. But the women who are working in the factories back in London, they're still part of the war effort. And whether you are on the front line or whether you are in the background, we are all part of that war to hate sin and love God. This is what we're called to be, free to love him and to know the joy of our salvation. And this is the context he's talking to. And these Hebrew Christians are going away. They're forgetting their first love, that is Christ. They're forgetting who he is. And Paul says that the Israelites grumbled and moaned. They made idols for themselves. See, and we look to other things, don't we? When times are tough, we can sometimes look to other things. We want to give up. We can't face the future. God isn't answering our prayers as we were hoping he would. And we look, possibly, to other things. And I think that is a particular trial that possibly some of you are going through tonight. Can I say, watch and pray. Suffering, trials, whatever your trial is, can be a means that Satan uses to draw you away from Christ. And I think there's other times of particular temptation that possibly people are going through. You know, those who travel overnight, those who are away from their families for a period of time, those of you who've got lots of time unaccounted for, those possibly with a history of addictions, those of you who spend time alone with the opposite sex, those of you who are college students where time is a little bit different and you're living more in each other's pockets, those of you who are dating, temptation. They're real. Add pornography to that, sexual temptation, obsessive diversions, even those diversions that are acceptable and enjoyable. You know, certain things that we can enjoy, but they can become idle. They become our idols unless we see that they come from God's hand and we have a right perspective. Can you identify with them? As a campfire in the jungle dies down, the wild beasts creep closer. Similarly, a Christian neglects his soul, his indwelling sin stare him in the face with more menace. Old sins return to haunt him. Youthful lusts, formerly felt to be dead, rise up against with new vigor. Strange languor and disabling torpor make it well nigh impossible for the once active believer to fight off his spiritual enemies. His witness dies down. His worship cools off. His love for fellowship diminishes. He invents excuses for absenting himself from godly company. He is but a pale shadow of the person, of the man that he was. What has gone wrong? He's no longer fighting the battle. And just part of this first point, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray your soul. Bring it before the Lord. Don't neglect time with him. Don't neglect time for his word by his spirit to shine on your heart. If you're finding that hard at the moment, talk to others about it. We'll come to that a little bit later on. But make sure you, individually, you are right before God. Bringing things before him. So watch and pray. If there's particular times that you know the temptation is real for you. And I want to say in that as well, let's not underestimate the means of grace God gives us. Church. Now, we can be quite driven when we hear the word meeting. It's prayer meeting. It's Sunday meeting. It's all about, we can think, sometimes it's all about a person speaking. He speaks to us. We then leave. But Sunday is a great gift to us, you know. It's a great gift to us to share. It's a great gift for us to share Christ. Don't neglect it. Prayer meeting. Do you know one thing that warms my heart is hearing another Christian pray? That's why I'd encourage you in prayer meeting, when we don't split into groups, which we do sometimes, pray. Okay, don't make yourself vulnerable where you're opening up, but there's nothing more lovely than hearing your Christian brother and sister pray. These are means of grace. To watch and pray. So that's just something. We're in this battle together, the battle of sin. Do you recognize it? Do you see it? We must start there before we go on to verse 13. So, what happens if someone opens up to you? Practically speaking, someone opens up to you and they confess something to you, and they say, I'm really struggling with this particular sin. Have you ever been in that situation? Maybe it's doubts over something you've read in the scriptures. Maybe it's a lack of assurance. Am I a Christian? Oh, the devil loves that one, doesn't he? Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe something's happened. And, it's Satan is reminding you and reminding you. Maybe there's a sin that you really are struggling to control. Maybe it's around gossip, or maybe it's around sexual sin. Maybe it's just about how you handle your money. And someone comes to you and talks to you. Maybe as a husband and a wife, your husband's admitted something to you. He said, I struggle with this. Can you pray for me? Maybe a close friend. They confess to you. How do we respond in those situations? Well, we respond by exhorting. Verse 13 is clear. We don't duck our heads in the sand. And we encourage each other. We look to see we have a responsibility for each other. First of all, I'd say be thankful. That's the first point. Try not to be shocked. I'm going out on a little bit on a limb. I'd say probably in our more conservative churches that we are, our danger is this. I think there's a subconscious, if we're not careful, that we've got to clean ourselves up before we come to church. We've got to clean ourselves up before we come to church. Before we can even ask God to forgive us. And I think sometimes that can enter into our Christian walk. Or we actually think we need to be a certain way. Now, God calls us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't he? But you know, we're sinners and we're broken. And if we're going to move on as a church and grow, not just numerically, grow in our fellowship with each other and ultimately with the Lord, there's times when we need to be real with each other, that we are broken. It comes from that first point, when you see sin. I think when you realize more of of your sin, what do you realize more of? God's grace. And one thing has taught me over many years is this. I realize as I've got older, I'm just more broken. And I realize I need more of God's grace. I realize I need more of God's grace. And I think, so when someone comes to us, we're patient. And we can't be judgmental. Because if we really knew our own hearts, you know, we are sinners. And remember, sin is deceitful. It talks about that in verse 13. It's interesting. Today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Satan is deceitful. So let's be encouraged that people want to talk about it. I love it when people say to me, could you pray for this for me, Glyn? I'm really struggling. Do you know, I think the work of the Spirit is going on, brother. The Spirit is working in you. You're concerned about your heart. Secondly, Don't just commiserate. Don't just commiserate, but empathize. You see, these sins, whatever grade they are, I suppose you can call that. There's different levels, I suppose. And there's certain things that when someone comes to talk, you say, I recognize that. I see that. I see that in myself. That's an okay thing to say. But if the Spirit's doing a work, don't quench it. Don't shift the focus of what the issue really is. But see how you can help. What can I do to help you? What can I pray for? Maybe there's something you can't handle and you think, actually, you probably need some help on that. Maybe you could say, let's develop a plan. What can we do? If this is a bit of an issue, shall I phone you at this time? What can I do? Shall I text you at this time? Well, how can I encourage you? Is there someone in the church that you'd like to talk to about it? Maybe feel it's a bit out of my depth. I'll pray, but you offer partnership, humility, and support. So be thankful that God is working if someone comes to talk to you about these things. Don't just say, yeah, it's awful, isn't it? That's the danger sometimes, I think, when depends on the group of people, but it ends up just being, we're just awful, aren't we? We can't change. But with Christ, there is change because of his grace. And that's the third point. It's all about grace. Really get to the heart of that issue. Self-reliance is the sin, isn't it? Sin is a matter of the heart. Sin will always direct itself away from God. And we are supposed to be signposts to Christ. That is our goal. Now, for some of us, that is a real struggle. Some of us have a real issue that we want to be people's savior, if that makes sense. Maybe we like controlling and we just really want to help and we don't like to see them in pain. It upsets us and we want to do everything. And it's out of a good heart. But we are not people's savior. Christ is. And God has shown us, he provides the grace to help us. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And this is the provision for sin. If we confess our sins, what is he? Faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Christ's forgiveness is enough. And we don't say that to those people who have come to speak to us in a glib way. That's where we start. And we point them to the cross. And we don't point them to a dead Savior. We point them to a risen Savior whose power, whose resurrection gives us power over sin. Always take them back to the cross. Always encourage them. Maybe talk to them. Maybe take every opportunity to talk about Jesus with them. Talk to them about things that have been helpful to you and talk about what you're reading. Encourage them. Say, do you want me to read with you? Do you want me to pray with you? How can I help in that? Don't put yourself in the place of Christ. And always have a strategy. And remember, change happens usually over a period of time. Now, being a parent has taught me to learn patience. It's also taught me to recognize that when one of our children was ill or sick and that, or for whatever reason there was an issue, you take them to the doctor would diagnose and their weight wasn't right or there was an issue, That wouldn't just happen straight away. They'd probably, in the midst of that, there'd be all sorts of mess and sickness. There'd be tantrums over taking the tablets. Not that my children ever did that. But there would be struggles even as they take that medicine. And as the weeks go on, they put on weight again. And as they fall and we have, you know, screaming abdubs over medicine or whatever the case may be, there's still growth, step by step. You know, if you're committed to each other, if we're committed to each other, if you're committed to your husband or your wife, if you're committed to your best friend's spiritual interest, if you're committed to each other as a church, we walk side by side with each other and we're not going anywhere. And when suffering comes, or trials come, and besetting sin comes, and there's openness, we just walk with them. We say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. How can I help you? How are you getting on? But this particular one, and I think we need, and I think that hopefully helps you see that if that is the case, and I hope that that's the case, where people can feel they can share and encourage each other in that way, that you'd be this, that sort of friend. And then finally, is the final point when we have seen sin or been sinned against. This is a bit harder. This is something we don't find as easy when, I don't know whether you've noticed in your own families, when someone wrongs you in your family, the one thing you want to do is punch them or kick them. And it certainly, I wouldn't say that it goes on in our family when people lose perspective on things, but certainly, not between me and Flea, by the way, so you don't have to report anything. But you know, when sometimes we just get on each other's nerves in family life, and sometimes it's the case in church family, isn't it? We can find each other difficult. We rub each other up the wrong way. There's certain things we think, oh man. But before we briefly talk about this, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. We need to be patient with each other, and we need to love each other. And it always hopes, and it always perseveres. And I think that's the essence of that exhorting one another is an element of fellowship, is that as well, is how patient we are and loving we are with each other. But there are times when we need to speak to each other. Maybe someone has sinned against you. Maybe you've observed something. I was reading in this book, and it was very powerful, testimony of a church that I think Ed Welsh was involved in, when one of the leaders of the youth groups and the leader of another group in the church, both married, they ended up leaving their own families and running away together. And the church were absolutely devastated. And the question that came to the fore is, why didn't we say anything? Why didn't we do anything? And it's not easy. It's not easy. And we must come to this and consider these things with much love and much patience. And I would say, don't be silent out of fear. If you're not sure, if there's things you're worried about others, if there's things that you think I should be saying, talk to someone about it, someone you trust. Talk to someone about it. Get perspective on it. Maybe an older Christian you know will keep that to you. Maybe make it anonymous even. Don't have to mention names. But you're worried about someone. See, this is the real battle we're in. And it's particularly hard when you've had no one who's invited you to speak either. That's particularly hard. But also, don't be silent out of anger. When someone said something or done something, and it's angered you. There's this verse in Leviticus that says this: "Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt." You see, it happens. It happens across the ages, and it happens today. It happens across every single church in this land, where we say things. Oh, we say, why did I say that? And it's angered a brother or sister. You see, Satan with those sort of things can have a field day, can't he? He can bring disunity. He can bring a stirring of anger in a person's heart, the confessor, even the one that's been sinned against. And this is love that's possibly you let it go, but there's possibly you need to say something. And talk about the facts. Talk about the facts. Don't make it emotive. Don't make it personal. Talk about that you're concerned about them. You're concerned, why did you say that? I was worried we were in that, we were walking along and you said that about so-and-so. I just sense that you have a concern for that person. Is everything okay? And it's being brave. But it's asking questions. And bring it to the Lord. Before you speak to anyone, bring it before the Lord. And if it's not resolved, after much prayer, and maybe meeting with someone, and I would encourage each other, don't email, don't text. I'd encourage if there's things you need to say, say it face to face. Now, that's not easy, I know. And that's not always the easiest way, but I'd encourage you face to face. I speak to myself in these things. Okay, so to conclude, to finish. Pray whenever you can. There are some people in this congregation who naturally you would not talk to. Talk to them. Ask about their week. See how they're getting on. Make a start, step by step. You know, I'd encourage you. Take small steps towards this, towards your brother and sister. There are those people who you know you're closer to. Great. Are they accountable to you? Do you encourage them in the Lord? That's the place to start. Am I a good friend to those people who I'm naturally close to? Do I help them love Christ more? Or am I a hindrance to them? Do I exhort them in my behavior? Or do I cause them to stumble? Do my words and my obsessions, do they keep them off track? Do they cool their hearts towards Jesus? I think that's the place to start, probably. That's a question I'd ask myself. Am I a stumbling block to someone else? Wow. The way I speak. I sometimes have to say to Fleer, how did I sound then when I spoke to that person? She's a good sounding board to me. She said, you sounded a bit harsh. I don't always hear myself. I've got to be honest. And she's a good sounding board. Are you a good friend? Are you a good family member? There's someone in your family. You don't talk about spiritual. Well, talk about the Lord. We're family. And pray. I say this, pray with your friends. If you've not done it, pray with your children. If you've not done it, pray with your husband, pray with your wife, pray with your sons, pray with your daughters, pray with your parents, pray. And as you pray, I think that brings closeness. And be real. I think as a church, that's a challenge to us. I think it's a challenge to every church. Let's be real about this battle each one of us have. And let's use this means of grace. So the challenge here is today. This is the passage, the urgency. Consider these things. Take them away. Ponder on them, Paul says. Because of this, because you've been saved, think about your behavior. Think about it. And that's a challenge to us tonight. And there is an urgency today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily. And remember this. Christ dealt with sin. That great enemy, he dealt with sin when he went to the cross. There's no sin. There's no situation too dark because he went to that cross. And he didn't just, he wasn't crucified in a corner back street. He was crucified in public for your sin and for my sin. And that is the power of the gospel. And 3 days later, he rose again. This is the power that you and I have in the Holy Spirit to conquer the power of sin in ourselves and in our fellowship. Amen.